We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
This is the Dale and Keith Show.
When push comes to shove, Tom Brady will play for .. in 2020.
Not the Patriots.
The runaway two best spots are Dallas and Indy.
Tom Brady will remain in the New England Patriots uniform.
Nobody knows the trouble I've seen.
Dale Arnold.
The number stuff I don't, you know, get involved in.
Yeah. But that says nothing about Brock Holt.
No, nobody should read anything into that.
Rich Keefe.
Where's Keefe? Where is he?
Keefe was home naming presidents in his basement drinking craft beer.
Dale and Keefe, middays.
That's disgusting. What the hell is that statement? I mean, come on, just stop talking.
On the WEEI Sports Radio Network.
You know, there was a measure of disrespect thrown your way yesterday, and I don't appreciate it.
Well, I can imagine, Dale.
Because I actually said that you were home in your basement drinking craft beers and naming presidents, and I said Grover Cleveland.
Yes.
To which Andy Hart immediately mocked you and said, there's no chance he came up with Grover Cleveland. He would be wrong.
He would be absolutely wrong. First of all, I was a history minor at Hobart College. So therefore, I could probably name about half the presidents. So don't worry about that, Dale.
And could come up with Grover Cleveland and did.
I did. And unbeknownst to you, on the recent episode of the Hashtag Dork Podcast, Davey and I opened the episode by talking about some of our favorite presidents because it was President's Day. And I mentioned Grover Cleveland. So take that, Andy Hart.
Andy Hart, with your measure of disrespect.
How was Andy yesterday?
Well, disrespectful, apparently.
Just mean-spirited, as it turns out.
That, too.
Isn't President's Day supposed to be a day where...
Of reflection.
Appliances are on sale.
Well, that.
Cars are on sale.
Yeah.
You go out there,
because
you get
that's
yourself.
What George Washington had in mind, damn it.
All the presidents, every single one of them, they wanted you to go out there and get fair price on whatever it happens that you need. You need a new vacuum cleaner, because I know I do. You go out on President's Day and you get it done. So hopefully everybody did that and you had a nice Monday.
So I said to Rich this morning when he got in, I claimed you were in your basement drinking craft beers and naming presidents. You said, I wish. Instead, you were driving 5.5 hours home yesterday.
Yeah, I was driving back from upstate New York. So I really wish I was doing that. But we made it.
Did
we're
you did
piece.
You do a pilgrimage over to... To Geneva,
Hobart,
New York.
No, didn't make it quite that far.
Oh,
didn't
man.
Make it, did not make it quite that far.
Because
maybe
there's
next
still,
time. I know.
I mean, if you go on campus right now, the two jerseys that sell the most are Ali Marpet and Rich Keefe.
Makes sense.
Yeah.
You know, a couple of the notable alums coming out of Hobart. So maybe next time I'll head up there.
So we missed you yesterday. And apparently it's now become a thing here. We have a new scoreboard here. Forget that leaderboard. That's different over there.
Oh yeah, yeah.
We started it on Twitter yesterday. A scoreboard.
Yes,
which
I like this.
I saw OMF then picked up on.
Stole.
They did give us credit.
They gave
us credit. So I'm okay.
Stole.
So the whole idea here is: does he stay or does he go? And we're now listing people who are. Who are putting in their votes. Now, you're in the gone. You've been saying gone for a while.
I've been saying gone for a while. And we're talking about Tom Brady.
Oh, are we?
I would say, yeah, we are. We're not talking about, this isn't the Devin McCourty pool. This isn't the Kyle Van Noy pool. Yeah, I think he's gone. And I thought even going all the way back to last year, just the way the contract negotiations, and if you remember, before the season even started, we had conversations about it. And I think we were saying, you know, maybe they get something done during the year. Right? Like, wasn't like at least that possibility was like, all right, maybe they figure this out and, you know, they change the contract around a little bit just so Brady could, you know, play in the preseason and make him happy enough anyway. But there's too many things pointing in the direction of him leaving. And that's why now what team he goes to, I think that is really just a shot in the dark. I don't even know if he knows right now. But I feel pretty confident that he's not going to be back next year.
Well, because you missed yesterday's show, Mike Giardi was willing to join us yesterday.
Good. Well, I'm glad, you know.
Once we found out. Oh, he's not there? Yeah, sure. Yes. I'll come on with you.
Good for Mike.
And he is in the not for the Patriots next year. Now, he doesn't know where he's going to be. He just says not here.
And isn't that pretty telling? Mike Giardi and Jeff Darlington, two guys that you know, one for NFL Network, one for ESPN, who are always around the Patriots, are always like the number one reporter for those
networks.
And they're
pretty good at their sources.
Pretty tied in, and I think both of them have at least a relationship with Brady or with Brady's people or whatever, right? They're not these Johnny-come-latelys. They've been around the team, both of them, a long time.
Yep.
And for Mike to say he thinks he's gone, and for Jeff last week to say, you know, Titans, Raiders, then maybe the Patriots, I don't know, that's pretty telling. And again, it all goes back to what so many people have been getting caught up in, whether it's Michael Irvin saying, you know, Cowboys might do this, or Christian Fourier saying, you know, the Patriots are done with them. These guys aren't just pulling stuff out of the clouds, right? Like Giardi and Darlington, they're around the team all the time. They have so many relationships that they're just putting the pieces together too, but they have more informed, like they have even more pieces than we do, and they're adding it all together.
Now, one
and
thing them, Giardi did agree, by the way, that the whole does he have a house in Connecticut story, whether you're in the he's got a house or he doesn't have a house, it doesn't matter.
So that's
it's the most overblown story of the offseason, because unless they're moving an NFL franchise to Greenwich, what difference does it make if they bought a house there?
I was always so confused about how much people were jumping on that. And then we even took calls, remember last week, about, well, his oldest son lives in New York. No, he lives in L.A. No, actually, he really lives in New York. And what's going on with it? I'm like, they'll figure that out. It's not like Brady is going to join a team and play for the next 10 years somewhere.
Right.
He's got a year or two, three at the absolute tops where he's going to play football. It doesn't matter. And this is also, this isn't, they're not normal people who have one house, and that's where
they already have multiple houses now.
So I think it's really a waste of time and energy to talk about the houses now.
They built that mansion in L.A. that I don't know that they ever lived in, and ended up selling to Dr. Dre.
Right.
You know, they've got a place in Montana. They've got a place in Costa Rica. They've got a place in Manhattan.
I mean, come on.
Like, it doesn't even matter. It really doesn't. They have real estate everywhere.
And that's what I'm saying. Now, unless there was a big news story that he just bought a mansion in Nashville, then you would say, all right, well, that seems
that
to be
would be
something.
Different.
They didn't really have one there before. That's sort of not like a major hub, and they have a team there, and they need a quarterback, so that's a little bit different. But these other ones, it's all about probably finding the right school for the kids, and then they can, with their rich people problems, figure out how to communicate or how to, you know, commute and how to, you know, travel and who's spending time where.
And let's
they
just,
can do that on their own time.
We'll play it out here. Let's say that he re-signs with the Patriots.
Yeah.
Well, they will find a place where they will live here as well. They'll have the, theoretically, the forever house in Greenwich, although for rich people, it's never a forever house.
No, they're always upgrading.
Yeah, I mean, it's...
They're like college football coaches. They're always looking for the next job, the next place.
But they'll find a place to live here. They'll buy a place in the seaport, or they'll buy a place somewhere, or they'll rent a luxury condo somewhere. This whole idea of, he's got a house in Greenwich, you know, that means he's gone. Stop.
No, it doesn't. Now, have you picked a side yet on this? Because I know...
Like not yet. I swear to God.
You're waiting.
This is more an indication of how wishy-washy I am.
Well.
Every day, I seem to change my mind. It's right. Like.
You playing the role of Glenn today?
That too. I also don't think Tom Brady knows.
No, he may not. No, he definitely may not. And that's why all we can do is take sort of the information that we've been given right now and make a best guess.
My best guess has been all along he stays.
Yeah. And that was
because it makes the most sense, I think, for him. You know, do you at this stage of your life and career, do you want to start over somewhere?
Mm-hmm.
When, as you pointed out, you probably got 2 years left. Best case scenario, you've got 3 years left. Do you want to start over under those circumstances?
And that's why the great kind of X factor in all of this is, what do the Patriots offer him?
Yeah,
because he might say exactly what you said, like, you know, if everything was equal, I would just come back here. But everything's not going to be equal. The contract offers aren't all going to be the same. The years are all going to be different. The money is going to be different. The receivers and the tight ends and the running backs are going to be different. The coaches and the coordinators, everything is going to be a little bit different. He's going to have to weigh them all in there and see just how much the Patriots respect him. Because do you want to play for the Patriots on 1 year? And they're treating you like Tim Wakefield, and they're like, hey, every year, just you can pick up, you're like have an option.
It's
every
a rotating,
year. Right?
Sort of like you feel Zdeno Chara has with the Bruins
kinda,
right now.
Kind of does, and he's not taking that as a lack of respect. You know, Chara and Wakefield, those guys didn't, but for Brady, who's been, you know, wanting a deal for, you know, at least last year, and they didn't give it to him. And if all these other teams are able to give him the contract offer, I don't know why. I think his pride might take over and say, listen, I'm not going to play for just one more year here. And if the Patriots really mean business and they really want to bring him back, they might have to get a lot closer to, you know, that potential Raiders deal that is out there. Or who knows what some of these other teams that have even more cap space are going to come up with for an offer.
So Bill Barnwell has written a very lengthy piece, a multiple-part piece on ESPN.com. And he looks at five moves that every team should look to do in the offseason. He breaks it down by division. I mean, it's really very lengthy. And he starts each of these pieces, for instance, the Patriots. Projected 2020 cap space, he says $44.1 million. And then he lists the five things that they need to do. Number one is re-sign Tom Brady. And, you know, he thinks that this makes the most sense for the Patriots. But then, number two, upgrade massively at tight end.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
And he says right here, if Brady does come back, New England needs to give him more weapons. And he goes through, you know, kind of chapter and verse of who's available out there. And, for instance, he says Hunter Henry and Austin Hooper. Henry's slightly better blocker. Hooper been healthier, bet more. He said not only should they sign that guy, they should go sign either Tyler Eifert or Jimmy Graham as their second tight end. They should then go out and draft a tight end as well.
100%. Because even Jimmy Graham is not a long-term thing. And,
right.
And the Patriots, too, have to be saying to themselves, whether Brady's back or not, they need a tight end. They don't have a real NFL tight end on the roster. And that's what's so amazing about it, too, is Belichick is usually a step ahead. And when he's moved on from one guy, sort of has another guy there ready to go. I mean, a good example is all of the pass-catching running backs. It seemed like it went from, you know, J.R. Redmond to Kevin Faulk to Shane Vereen to James White, right? Like then there'd be a little bit of an overlap, and then the next guy had the job and moved on. Tight end, you go from a Hall of Fame, one of the top 100 tight ends or 100 players of all time, one of the top like five tight ends of all time, maybe the best ever, and you replace him with Matt Lacoste. And for a team that, for Brady's entire career, the tight end was such an important position. Now, some were better than others, but they clearly valued it very much with the two first-rounders back in the day, and then Gronk and Hernandez, and then even, you know, Martellus Bennett taking a shot on a guy like Scott Chandler, who at least had some production prior to coming to New England, and then he just whiffed on that position altogether. It was a pretty big reason why Brady's numbers were the way that they were. They didn't have a threat at a spot that he went to so many times.
It is the single biggest sports story, not New England, in America right now. I mean, all of these shows that we've gone on in these monitors, every single one of these shows, Get Up and First Take, all of them do a segment every single day.
You have to.
Where's Tom Brady going? What's Tom Brady doing?
You have to.
It is and I'm not exaggerating now, it's the single biggest sports story in America.
And if he goes somewhere else, it becomes one of the biggest stories in all of sports history. Because he's still really good, and I know that he's going to be 43 by the time the season starts, but he's still really good, and no player, especially in the modern era, has won as much, certainly in football, and you got to go to like Jordan to talk about a guy who's won as much with one franchise, and to play 20 years there. So, I mean, we don't need to explain to people why it's such a big story. Now, if he just returns to the Patriots, it might be sort of a sigh of relief for fans, and then also like, that could have been a crazy story.
Right.
He ends up being back. And if you happen to miss the last 2 months of Sports Talk Radio, like, nothing ever changed. But, man, if he goes somewhere else, you got to – it's why we're talking about it, because that chance has never really been in existence. In 20 years, he's never made it to free agency.
And with as crazy as the whole quarterback carousel is in this offseason, we've never seen a year with this many top-flight quarterbacks – available to move, and it's never been like this in the history of the NFL.
No,
he's the biggest name on the whole pile. He's the domino that when that domino falls, it almost feels like all the other dominoes will then fall into place.
Yeah, because I think there are some guys that or some teams that Tom Brady would be an upgrade for, but if they don't get him, they better move pretty quick and either bring back their guy in the Ryan Tannehill, Dak Prescott. Those teams better bring their guy back. Otherwise, they run the risk of missing out on 2 years of Brady, but also missing out on maybe 5 or 6 years of their guy. And there's going to be some teams, again, it's so reminiscent of an NBA offseason where star players are on the move and they're going and they're leaving. I mean, you look at how many teams in the league with 32 teams, a 10 of them, there's probably uncertainty right now at who their quarterback's going to be, the most important position in all of sports, and you're not sure what you're going to do. And now you have a month to sort of play this game out, and hopefully you don't get left with some bum, because this is a year where there's a lot of really quality guys out there. And like you said, Brady definitely at the top of the list.
Most people now are of the opinion, while some contacts have been made unofficially behind the scenes, all that stuff, we all know that. Everybody knows that. We're not stupid here. We know that even though it's illegal and it's tampering and all that stuff, it still happens. But most people feel that when it's really going to hit breakneck speed is next Monday.
Yeah.
When the football world gathers in Indianapolis, and you've got GMs and coaches and agents and players. I mean, Antonio Brown said he's going to the combine to sell himself to people. That, you know, when all of this happens, that's when he'll have a pretty good idea then. You know, even if it's a whispered conversation in a hallway in passing, hey, don't let him sign anywhere, Don, until you talk to us, okay?
Right.
You know, that sort of thing.
Oh, I think he's going to have a pretty good idea of not just how many teams are interested, but a little bit more specifics. Like when you reported going on a couple of weeks ago up to 11 teams were interested, it might have been just at that level.
Yeah.
Like, hey, we're interested, just so you know we're interested. And I know the legal tampering period doesn't start for, 20-something days, but at the end of this week or early next week, you might have a little bit of an idea of like what Larry Fitzgerald Sr. was reporting.
Right.
Hey, we're thinking 2 years. Okay. And yeah, and we're thinking, you know, $60 million. We're thinking $65 million. We're thinking this much guaranteed. There I would not be surprised if there were teams that went to 3 years or beyond. Again, they're football contracts, so you gotta figure out what's real and what isn't. But I think we're all gonna be surprised as to what he gets. Cause here in New England, we're so fixated on is it 1 year or 2 years, and what I think we're gonna be surprised at what he gets.
I'll go so far as to say that if he does come back to the Patriots, we're going to be shocked at how much he walked away from.
Yes.
Because there will be more lucrative offers out there, both in terms of length and amount. If he does come back here, we're going to say, wow, Oakland was offering $70 million over 2 years.
That's a good point. If he comes
back, Vegas, not Oakland.
Well, yeah. But if he comes back to the Patriots, he will have left money on the table. And we've always said that in years past, but he's never actually made it to free agency. So it was always sort of theoretical, like, oh, well, if you made it to free agency in another year, then he would have made more than filling the quarterback. But now he's actually going to have that opportunity. We're really going to get the reports that come out of all these different teams and what was your final offer. And then those teams can at least sell it to their fan base.
Hey, we
to the owner.
Look at what we did.
Yeah,
and,
we didn't
and
get
by the way,
ready,
they'll,
but we tried.
They'll whisper it. Oh, yeah. They won't come out and say it publicly.
Well, no, of course not. They usually don't with that stuff.
They'll drop a dime to whoever, you know, Mike Giardi, and they'll say, hey, Mike, just so you know, we were offering $70 million over 2 years.
Yeah, right. Oh, yeah, and it's gonna be crazy. But the Patriots can't get by on a 1 year deal. I don't think anybody feels like he's gonna agree to that.
Yep.
It might be 2 years and less money than the Chargers or the Raiders, but it won't be for 1 year because all these teams are gonna come out with multiple years. And what's the point of going to free agency? What's the point of not being franchised? A franchise tag is a ton of money for a quarterback. It'd be a raise from this year.
I'm still convinced that the franchise tag thing was more along the lines of, I'm not going to give them the ability to franchise me and trade me where they want to.
I don't think he would be traded if he pulled a Rob Gronkowski and said, I'm going to retire. Like Detroit had a trade ready to go for Gronk, and Gronk said, I won't play for you. And they said, well, then we can't trade a second-round pick, or in Brady's case, a first-round pick, and then he retires on us. So I think, you know, he has a de facto no trade in that regard. I think he wanted this, what we have right now. He wanted to hit the market, see what else is out there. There's always the chance that he comes back, but I think there's going to be so many suitors. And for the first time in a long time, the Patriots aren't the clear-cut best team. Like, that was sort of an advantage they had with other free agents.
Although Barnwell did say in his piece that he thinks that Brady's best chance of winning a Super Bowl, he says the Patriots had the league's best defense in 2019 and likely give Brady the best chance of winning a Super Bowl relative to the other teams likely to pursue him this offseason?
So I disagree with Barnwell only because they had the best defense statistically last year, but for the first eight games, they played second and third string quarterbacks, and we saw when it mattered most, they couldn't stop the Dolphins, and then we saw they couldn't stop Derrick Henry, and oh, by the way, the Tennessee Titans, who beat them in the playoffs in Gillette Stadium, they need a quarterback. And I think Brady gives the Patriots a chance, but part of it is because he's on the team. So if you put him on Tennessee, I think they have a better chance. At the very least, it's not a slam dunk like it was in years past, where it was like, oh, the Patriots, that's the best team. Why? Of course you're going to want to go there.
There are some new tidbits in a piece written by Tom E. Curran, NBC Sports Boston. We'll discuss them directly with him when he joins us in studio from noon to one today. And we'll get to some calls. We've got a bunch of other stuff we've got to get to that we haven't even touched on yet. You weren't here yesterday for the big owners press conference down at Fort Myers and how that went. Mm-hmm. We'll talk about that as the day goes on. The Red Sox have apparently made a signing. It's a minor league signing right now, but looking to add to their catching depth. I wouldn't be surprised if this guy ends up playing on the major league club before all is said and done. So we got a bunch of stuff we'll get to. 617-779-7937 is the telephone number. It's Dale and Keefe, and it's time to trend.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Now, with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Tip, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Dale and Keefe is on from 10 to 2.
That's why you get up in the morning.
Give me the ball and get out the way.
On WEEI.
Our ticketing group that has been together for 19 years knows exactly what the mission is, and that's to pack Fenway night in and night out, because it really is a competitive advantage. So to the extent that people haven't been to games at Fenway, please come on out and support this team. There's actually a misconception still in the market that tickets aren't available, that every single game at Fenway Park is sold out.
Yeah, that's not the case. They weren't all sold out last year. They won't all be sold out this year, but that was Sam Kennedy yesterday. He was part of the press conference in Fort Myers that featured John Henry and Tom Werner and Sam Kennedy. I'll say this, the long-prepared two-page statement that John Henry started with is actually pretty good. It's kind of goes Q&A, off the, it kind of goes off tough. The rails a little bit with, you know, once they start throwing questions at
The Q&A is tough, and again, when you're bringing up, you know, some of Heim Bloom's comments, and Heim Bloom's only being honest. If you take last year's team, which was disappointing, they won 84 games, and you remove Mookie Betts and David Price, and you replace them at the major league roster with just a Alex Verdugo who's probably not healthy.
So that would be suboptimal, is
how
what
are
you're
you better?
Saying. Yeah, you're not.
And you can't sell it that way. And if Heim Bloom went up there and said, hey, we're going to be better, well, that's crazy.
Yep.
You're taking away one of your better pitchers and your best player and one of the best players in baseball, and he's gone. So they're obviously going to be worse, but those guys yesterday had a hard time sort of even admitting that this year might not be a super competitive year. The Red Sox, with their payroll, and John Henry, to his credit, has paid a ton just about every single season for this team. You should be at the top of the standings, or at least in the mix, and it doesn't feel like this is one of those years. And it's also going to be one of those years, Dale, where maybe we do see even more empty seats at Fenway, something that we're really not accustomed to.
No, and I think that's a fairly safe idea, and I think they know that.
I think they do, and I think they also have to realize just how unpopular the team is right now. And, you know, again, that's going to show up in a variety of ways, whether it's, you know, attending the games or watching the games or listening to the games. The team is not as popular as it once was, and again, you take away your most popular player, that's going to happen. And they must realize that. And there's really nothing you could do until, unless you start winning a bunch of games, I think, where you're going to start to win some of the fans back. But you can even make a case, you know, sort of desperate times call for desperate measures. I have it on good authority that after a couple of days after they traded...
Is this a scoop?
See, I don't want to get caught up in the whole scoops thing necessarily, but yes, I think it is a bit of a scoop.
It's going on the board.
It's going on the board. According to a source I have on this one, a couple of days after the Mookie Betts trade, the Red Sox reached out to a bunch of social media influencers in and around Boston. Dale, these are people who are on the Twitter and on the Instagram and on the social media who maybe go and take really nice pictures and go to restaurants and do things like that, that people obviously subscribe to and look up to and whatever, and maybe buy some of their products or whatever it is. And they reached out to them hoping that they would promote the Red Sox, which in the 200 years of the Red Sox, is that something they have ever needed?
I've never
promotion
heard
for the
of
Red
it.
Sox?
If they've done it, I've never heard of it. Now, now you're not talking about, you know, like reaching out to Rob Bradford, that social media influencer,
They should have reached out to hashtag Dork. We would have been happy to do it. You know, you throw us a few Sawbucks, we'd talk about talk about the Red Sox on there. But no, I'm talking about people that you might not really even consider in that sports world. And they just happen to be popular
people. Fashion icons who've got, you know, 200,000 Instagram followers.
Yes.
And
so think about, you know, that Fire Festival thing.
Oh.
So they reached out. Now, that was
this isn't going to be like that, is it?
Well, that might
be. It's not going to be that bad.
But, I mean, that is sort of taking it to the extreme. That is like people with like millions of followers. I'm not even saying that. But there are people. And, again, I think our world is a little bit different than that world. So we may not even be familiar with some of these people. I mean, then you would just see like, oh, wow, they have, you know, several thousand followers on these different apps. And they do different things or whatever. And they however they get found, I don't even really know. But the fact that the Red Sox are reaching out to him, I heard that and I thought, man, that is something that like a minor league team would do, or a very unpopular major league team. Like, say the Braves were desperate to get fans. They reach out to some of the quote cool people in Atlanta and be like, hey, can you at least wear a Braves hat for this? Or say like take some photos by the ballpark. Like, please, can you do that? Just to make them somewhat cool again, because they really took a major hit. Not only was last season disappointing, but then the way this whole offseason has played out, they're a better team than the Bobby Valentine team, but you almost have the same kind of feel about it, don't you?
Well, and I'll say this. I'm not putting, obviously, these two guys in the same category in terms of importance. That's obvious. But is it fair to say that first with Mookie Betts and now with Brock Holt, their two most popular players are gone?
I don't know if Brock Holt, I mean,
he was pretty popular in this town.
Yeah, people like Brock Holt.
Hugely, wildly popular.
Yeah, he was popular.
I mean, obviously, he was a utility guy for much of his career.
So
I'm not trying to equate what Mookie Betts brought to the table.
Yeah, no, I understand. Not on the field. But yeah, I mean, he was well-liked after that trade. What was it with Pittsburgh all those years ago when they got him? Because wasn't he sort of the throw-in in the Joel Hanrahan deal,
I
want to say?
So, yeah.
Who like flamed out immediately, and then Brock Holt stuck around. Even squeezed out an all-star game. Actually, wasn't that during the Valentine season? Anyway, they're both gone, and I think fans are going to be kind of upset about that. You know, if they moved on just from David Price, you might actually get a little bit of goodwill, right?
People wouldn't mind that at all.
Yeah, you're going in the right direction. But yeah, Mookie Betts, Brock Holt, I mean, and it's going to come down to, and let's face it, Alex Cora, not necessarily their fault. Again, the league was probably going to take him away anyway.
Wildly popular,
really
though.
Popular.
Fans liked him.
Really popular.
They liked how he approached his job. They liked how open he was. I mean, when we were talking with him and when OMF is talking with him, I mean, he's an easy guy to root for. A lot like Terry Francona in that regard.
Yeah.
It's not surprising that they're both great friends.
No, that one does make sense. And so now you look at it from the outside and you say, all right, you're replacing Mookie Betts, you know, Brock Holt, I suppose, Alex Cora with Ron Renicki, who was already on the staff last year.
Yeah, he was the bench coach anyway.
And you're just kind of taking him and, listen, might be a really good baseball guy, doesn't seem to be loaded with personality. And so now that's going to be a guy who, again, as we found out with Farrell, especially in the last couple of years, it takes on a lot of responsibility because that's the guy who talks like 1,000 times a week before and after every game.
Yep.
He's going to do the interview with OMF once a week. Like, he's one of the voice pieces for the team. And if he's just up there, like, sneaky without a pulse, like, that's not going to help the team.
And Ron Renicki, I'm not trying to equate him to John Farrell in that regard, but he's not going to be, he is not as good at this, as comfortable at this, as Alex Cora was, as Terry Francona was.
No.
And as you say, they're out there every single day.
They're so, I mean, it's tedious, really. Like, do we need to hear from these guys? 162 times two times like another however many. I mean, it's nonstop.
We've kind of given Chaim Bloom a bit of a pass, and for obvious reasons. He probably knew when he got the job, this is what it was going to entail. You've got to make these moves. But we said it at the time. He's on with the Greg Hill Show in Fort Myers last week, and I think Danielle was asking him about Brock Holt, and we played a little snippet of the cut there in the open. And in effect, he's saying, look, I don't have anything to do with the signing of numbers. Don't read anything into the fact that they gave away Brock Holt's number. Stop. I mean, don't treat us like we're dopes here.
Yeah, he's
if you
obviously
gave
gone.
Away his number, you've decided you're going to move on from Brock Holt. Mm-hmm. Here's what Bloom said last week.
You know, it's actually funny. To show you how little that says about Brock Holt, I never did in my old job, and generally don't hear try to get involved in uniform numbers. And I think sometimes it was funny. I was having a conversation with Tommy, our clubhouse guy, about it was noticed, and I didn't get to your question about Jeter, but Jeter was put in between, I can't remember who it was, two of our veterans,
right?
And people said, well, usually the non-roster guys are at the far end of the clubhouse, and he's in between two veterans. What are they saying? I mean, it was like it was just the only open locker we had,
right?
Yeah. So, the number stuff I don't, get involved in.
Yeah. But that says nothing about Brock Holt.
No, nobody should read anything into that at all.
Stop it.
There was no chance he was going to be back after that.
And by the way, you made a baseball decision.
Yeah.
I understand. I'm not trying to overstate Brock Holt. You don't give away a guy's number if you still haven't decided if you're going to bring him back or not.
No.
You stop with that stuff. They are dancing around the truth so much here. You almost wish he would have said, look, this is a terrible way to announce this, but you're right. We gave away his number 12 to Alex Verdugo because we've made a baseball decision that we're probably going to move on from Brock Holt.
Right.
Yeah, just say
you
it.
Can't
it's
even
okay.
Say that. I mean, again, Brock Holt, good guy off the field, but probably like the 20th or 22nd player on the roster, and you can't even tell us that. You can't even tell us what's going on there. I think the thing I actually blame Chaim Bloom for more, and well, I shouldn't say blame. The thing that I put on him more right now is the return for Betts, and that's going to take some time to figure out what did he really get. And yep. I think the key to it all is Brusdar Graterol, who we talked about a lot. He was the fat pitcher from the Twins with the shoulder problem. If he ends up closing for the Dodgers, they screwed that up royally. That was the guy they targeted initially, and then they got cold feet and they backed out, and now you replace him with Verdugo and two prospects, one of which seems like a real long shot, the other one ready probably in 2021. That's what it's going to come down to, because we know that he was forced to trade Betts. And I bet also he was told, anybody who's a free agent, we need to kind of clear the deck a little bit. So Brock Holt, if he was under contract, it's not like they would have traded him.
No.
But he wasn't, so they're like, we want to get as many new faces in here as possible. It's sort of what I thought of that when Chaim Bloom took over.
And that's okay. Don't pretend like it's normal to give away a guy's number before the start of spring training. It's not normal. You gave his number to Alex Verdugo because and nobody
didn't matter.
I can promise you that at some point or another, the guy in charge for the Red Sox, the equipment guy, said, okay, what numbers do I have to play with? Obviously, these guys, what about this number? Yeah, you can give that away. Yes.
No.
It's okay to say it.
Right. It's not the end of the world.
And listening to John Henry and Tom Werner, I agree with them that they didn't trade Mookie Betts to get under the CBT level. I agree with them that they weren't going to let him walk at the end of the season and get a fifth-round draft pick in return. They weren't going to allow that to happen. Fine. I get it. I really do. I think they traded David Price to get below the CBT level, but that's...
Yeah, pretty clear.
Oh, yeah.
When you're going to pay half
and
his
again,
money,
fine.
That's what they're doing.
But don't try to convince us that you got equal baseball value in return. This was a baseball trade. You got three prospects, and they were highly rated prospects in the Dodgers organization. I mean, God, you pray a prospect ends up like Mookie Betts someday.
Yeah. Oh, for sure. And I guess I just go back to, all right, is there a line in the sand now? So whatever Mookie Betts signs for, whatever it happens to be next year, are you just never, you're never signing those contracts ever again? And if so, that's fine. Because if you are, Betts is one of the guys that you would do that for.
He would have been the guy.
He would have been the guy because Trout's not available.
Right.
So that would have been the guy that you would have signed to that type of deal. But if you're not, then don't. Don't panic. And the next guy that comes up, whether it's even Devers or Benintendi or somebody from another team, and then say, nope, we're reversing course and we're making those deals. Well, then you would have done it for Betts.
617-779-7937 is the telephone number. At noon today, Tom E. Curran, NBC Sports Boston, will join us in studio. We'll talk a lot of football at that point, obviously. We've got some other things to talk about as well, though, as we continue on. It's Dale and Keefe, Sports Radio, WEEI.
How many times has Rich Keefe been wrong?
Zero. Ever? Ever. Ever. Ever.
Now back to Dale and Keefe on WEEI.
The idea of an asterisk or asking for a piece of metal back seems, you know, sort of a futile act. People are always know that there was something about the 2017 World Series that was different, and they're going to know that because whether we made every decision right or wrong, we undertook a really thorough investigation, and we had the intestinal fortitude to put out there the facts we found, even though they weren't very pretty.
He's got big balls! I don't know that you could be more tone deaf than Rob Manfred is.
He really misjudged this entire thing.
I mean,
he
from no start idea. To finish, there is a piece on ProFootballTalk.com written by Mike Florio, which basically said, if Roger Goodell handled a situation like this the way Rob Manfred has, they'd be looking for a new commissioner right now.
Well, I don't know if I agree with that, because I think Deflategate was pretty botched. I think that
not according to the other
up.
Owners, it wasn't.
Nah, I guess.
The only owner that Rob Manfred has on his side is Jim Crane. He's got everybody else against
him.
Yeah, I suppose
that's true. Yeah, I mean, I guess the owners, rather than like the public and what you did to your best player, just seems so idiotic.
But the other owners loved it. I mean,
yeah,
you got to come down on
him. Yeah.
This, when you take the World Series trophy and you call it a piece of metal.
Yeah, that was pretty damning.
You spend your entire season,
yeah.
You know, sweating and bleeding, mm-hmm. trying to earn that, mm-hmm. be able to hoist that at the end of the season, and then have the commissioner call it, quote unquote, a piece of metal.
Yeah, we're not going to take back a piece of metal, because what does that even mean? Like, what does that even do?
Only
like,
everything in your sport?
Now, it's a stupid trophy, and it looks like a weapon, but
that's
still,
beside the point.
But that's
yeah.
not the point here, just to call it that. I mean, imagine, you know, as much as people hate Gary Bettman, you imagine him saying something about the cup, saying something like, oh, it's just a hunk of
come
thing
on,
or whatever.
It's a piece of metal. What difference does it make?
A big thing to drink out of. Like, what does it matter? Yeah, Manfred. And then you also get the sense that he wouldn't have, if it wasn't for Mike Fiers, Manfred could have known all of this and wouldn't have done a thing. He didn't want this out there.
Well, now the question becomes, he said in the last couple of days, that he hopes to have the Red Sox cheating report done by the end of next week.
Yeah, that'd be great.
He said, in his words, not mine, and I'm paraphrasing, there have been some developments which has caused them to go back and re-interview some people. Now, there have been a lot of people, Lou among them, Dan Roach among them, who have said, you know, hearing more and more, there's not much here, not much going on here. Well, that had to send a shiver up and down the Red Sox spine to have Rob Manfred say, there have been some developments. You know, we've gone back and re-interviewed some people.
Right.
Here's the
thing.
Now,
what does that mean? Like, does that mean they're desperate to find something and there's not? Or if you're baseball,
I think they're scared to death that if they cover this up more than they were planning
to.
Here's what I think could have happened. When Evan Drellick first wrote the piece exposing the Red Sox part in all this,
mm-hmm.
He said that there were three people that he was quoting anonymously to protect his sources, not criticizing him for that. What if one or two or all three of those people have now reached out to the commissioner and said, I'll tell you what I told Evan Drellick.
Yeah, I wonder because
then all of a sudden it's like, oh, God, I wanted to cover this up so badly.
Right. Because it's going to be outside of anybody being willing to talk about it. It's going to be really hard to prove, right? This isn't like a cold case. You can't go back and do fingerprints in the clubhouse or find old video. Like, no, the video is the video if it's even still there.
If Mike Fiers doesn't go public, yeah. I promise you none of this comes out. if they didn't have a name, if they didn't have a guy who said, "Look, I'll tell you exactly what happened.
Yeah,
this is what we were doing," and then that internet sleuth down in Houston who did all the
right. Oh, yeah,
trash can banging research.
Oh, they could find it. I mean, there's enough stuff out there, and people can go back through all the different games or whatever else. But, yeah, it just doesn't seem like the chances of this kind of going away are slim, you know. And then I love, too, I don't know if you guys talked about it yesterday, but I love Dusty Baker coming out. Hey, you know, I really don't think, you know, if there's anybody throwing at any of the Astros, like, they should be punished more or whatever else. I mean, they need to protect the players. So now,
well,
so
in
now
effect, Rob Manfred has said, not only did we protect the Houston players when we didn't punish any of them, but now we're going to protect them even more because if you throw at them, we're coming after you.
Insane. So now you can't throw inside on the Astros? That's basically what you're doing.
As Andy said yesterday, dig in, Astros players.
Oh, they're fine.
Don't you worry. They're not coming in on you anymore.
They don't know what pitch is coming anymore, but they know it's not inside.
Yeah.
I hope they still get rocked. I hope pitchers still go after those guys left like, all the time. That's what I'm hoping for. And then Dusty Baker sitting there talking about how it's not a big deal. And you know if he was on any other team in the majors, he'd be losing his mind.
Anybody but them.
Right, but he's going to defend them and say this. But, no, it's going to be a long year for those guys.
Earlier today, Mark Cuban tweeted out, and again, I'm paraphrasing, something along the lines of, you know, Major League Baseball is a mess. Thank goodness they didn't allow me to buy a team. Here's the irony. When the Texas Rangers were being bought out of bankruptcy court, Mark Cuban was partners with a guy who was trying to buy the Texas Rangers out of bankruptcy. It was Jim Crane.
Oh, my God.
That was the guy that Mark Cuban was trying to partner up with to get this team out of bankruptcy. They didn't allow it. Sorry, Mark. We don't want your money.
He seems like a buffoon. Who seems worse, though, over the last few weeks? Is it Jim Crane or Rob Manfred?
Rob Manfred.
I know. It's crazy as that is, because Crane put on one of the worst performances at a press conference you've ever seen, and yet Rob Manfred has just found a way to top it and just diminish the World Series trophy in the process, which is incredible.
617-779-7937 is the telephone number. Tommy Curran, NBC Sports Boston, will be in studio with us from noon to 1. It's Dale and Keefe, Sports Radio, WEEI.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.